This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Do you take this woman as your lawful wedded wife?
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed.
Hello, and welcome to With This Ring, Episode 7. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host, Cindy Everett.
And welcome. And today we're going to continue working our way through the greatest WWE match ever poll. And we're looking at a very specific match tonight, the Royal Rumble.
A very specific type of match. So yes. It's interesting to me that the Royal Rumbles is just such a different setup than, you know, a Monday Night Raw match versus, you know, just one-on-one. But I guess people still put this in the same category. I guess you don't want to do a separate tournament just for Rumbles.
Right, yeah. And that was kind of like the thing, how do you rank them against, you know, how do you rank a Rumble against Bret Hart versus Owen Hart at WrestleMania?
Right. Oh, aren't they brothers?
Yes.
They fought each other?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Numerous times.
Yeah. Yes, that's actually a pretty common
trope.
I don't know why I'm acting so surprised.
Well, originally, supposedly Vince McMahon didn't like the idea of that. He thought that people wouldn't accept two brothers fighting.
Oh, that's all my brothers did growing up.
Yeah, exactly. So back to the Royal Rumble. What did you know about the Rumbles coming into this? I think
we've been to a Rumble.
Yes, yes.
We went to the Rumble in 2017 in San Antonio. So I obviously knew the format. I had seen some the past. One of them I did know.
Right.
We started to watch the Ric Flair one. Other than that, I'm familiar with the recent years with Kofi Kingston's shenanigans.
Right.
I do enjoy them.
Yeah.
So there's always something happening.
Yeah. It's
not as much, not a lot of high flying moves like we talked about, except
right.
makes you vulnerable. But there's always some wacky shenanigans, and the ones that we watched were no exception.
Right.
Especially one near the end, I thought was especially the last two I thought were especially ridiculous that we watched. So we'll get into that.
Yes. So the first Rumble itself wasn't actually a pay-per-view. It was on USA Network.
Oh, okay.
And it was done because Jim Crocker Promotions, which would become WCW, was having a pay-per-view. And they were having their own special battle royal called the Bunkhouse Stampede. Yes. Again, Dusty Rhodes came up with the names of all these matches.
Yeah.
And the idea there was it was a battle royal where you came like wearing what you didn't wear wrestling attire. You just came as
in
you were.
Street clothes?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, I guess you'd do that at the old bunkhouse back in the day at the farm.
Oh, like all the farmhands at night?
Yeah. But then it was kind of goofy though because it was a battle royal that was also a cage match.
Well, you'd keep them in a cage.
Yes, exactly.
So that's fully conceived.
So they had their pay-per-view, so Vince McMahon was like, well, screw them. I'm not going to let them be, you know, get one over on pay-per-view. I'm going to have a show on USA, which if you have to choose between watching a show for free on USA and paying $20 or whatever it was at the time for a show on pay-per-view, most people chose the USA, and then WCW couldn't help themselves either. They printed the wrong time for the start time on the tickets.
WCW. Wait, on the tickets?
Yeah.
That's
so the people going
really
to the show, like the first three matches is very...
Oh, no one's there?
No one. Well, I mean, there's people like filing in.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so
that's not a good look.
No. Well, WCW is. That's kind of their mantra of bad looks.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's funny because at first I was going to say that it's almost like it's a healthy competition. It's like Apple and PC or, you know, whatever. But sounds like WCW was maybe provided a little bit of at least motivation for them to come up with some ideas.
But not really at this point. And also, like, Vince McMahon did a lot to hurt them.
Oh, really?
But they'd always, whatever Vince McMahon would do, they'd do two steps of their own to hurt themselves even worse.
They were their own worst enemies.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what ended up doing them in was the fact that they were just a part of the Turner,
gotcha,
Time Warner umbrella, not the sole purpose of a company like WWE.
I gotcha.
So the first one was won by Hacksaw Jim Duggan. We did not watch
that. He won?
Yeah. Again,
he won something?
Well, actually, we watched before. The main draw of the thing wasn't even really the Royal Rumble, because people were like, what the hell's that? The main draw of the show itself was the contract signing between Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. So that's what people turned in to see. And then after you watch that, then they had this new Battle Royal type thing that was new. And that one was only a 20-man Royal Rumble. And then 1989 was the first year it was on pay-per-view. And that is one that... It's won by Big John Studd.
Don't know who that
is. Yep, exactly. And it was the first 20 entrants are really good, but then they make the mistake of eliminating Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, like right then. So the crowd kind of takes a dive.
Gotcha. So then no one's interested in the last 10.
Exactly. Which is kind of the opposite of what they did. I think they learned from that. And then in 1990, which was the first one we watched, they knew that if you're going to have your two biggest guys face off, you do it towards the end.
Yep.
But before we get to that, it's the 1990 Royal Rumble in the Orlando Arena in Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Any facts about the Orlando Arena?
There's some facts. I don't know how fun they are. when it opened, it was named the Arena of the Year by Performance Magazine. Little bit of some problems because they had the seats split almost 50-50 between the upper deck and the lower deck. So it's more like a top-heavy type arena.
Kind of unusual.
I think that's why I got the Arena of the Year, because there was lots of good views.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But they only had skyboxes at the very top. They didn't have any around the middle. So that made it out of date pretty quickly. And it only had one concourse. So that got super, super crowded.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So it's no longer with us, Amway Arena. So I think it's kind of famous, short-lived. But, yeah, not too many good arena facts this week.
Yeah, well, it's all right. And then, so going into it, back in 89 they did also, but here they have, like, interviews throughout the show with different guys. And we learned that Ted DiBiase, who the year before, through some shenanigans with the Doctor of Style, Slick.
Right.
He sold his ticket to move up to number 30.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he bought their ticket. They had a good ticket.
Gotcha.
So he bought theirs. But then this year, he reveals that they had extra security around him when he drew his number, and that he had number 1. And then they also have Mr. Perfect reveal that he drew the perfect number, which is, of course...
30.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of good kind of pre-match.
Yeah.
Stuff leading up to this one.
And then they have the nice rapid-fire interview with, like, almost all the guys, and each person gets like 20 seconds, depending on how good you are. If you're the Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan, you'll get a little bit longer, but if you're Rocker Shawn Michaels, you get about 5 seconds to say, we're getting ready to rock and roll, and that's about it. So, we won't run through the whole thing, but...
Yeah, that's going to be a little hard to recap.
Please. Yeah, so, Ted DiBiase starts, and he ends up going 45 minutes.
Okay, yeah, Ryan has the Wikipedia page up, but it kind of has the order. This will help. It says, who entered? Wait, what?
So they're eliminated.
Oh,
eliminated
okay.
by time, people, number of eliminations.
Gotcha. Okay, so without looking, could you tell me who was in the shortest amount of time?
It was probably Shawn Michaels, I think, actually.
Okay.
Because he comes in.
What number did he come in?
Like 24, 25.
Oh, yep, 12 seconds.
Yep. Yep. Shawn Michaels, who would eventually, as of now, he has the second most cumulative time in Rumble history. Yes.
Well, 12 seconds is what we're going to push
really
on
what,
the edge.
Yeah, that's what Chris Jericho had to break at the end.
Who was in the longest?
Ted DiBiase.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's kind of a thing. Most Rumbles, the guy who's in there the longest is a heel.
Gotcha.
Just because it kind of helps build drama, I think, like, if people see him getting eliminated after he's been in there a while, they kind of get on their feet a little bit more.
Right, yeah, it's a little
outside
bit more
of
exciting.
Well, now they've counted the greatest Royal Rumble, the in Saudi Arabia is part of the official stats now.
Oh, really?
So now Daniel Bryan has the longest in-time record. But that was a 50-man Royal Rumble anyways.
50-man?
Yes.
Where did they find 50 wrestlers?
Well, a lot of them were like NXT guys. Okay. And this was the Saudi Arabia show, so they brought out like the Big Show.
Oh, gosh. Is that available? Could we watch that?
It's on the network. Yeah.
Have you watched it?
I remember watching it when it happened.
When was that?
2007, no, 18.
Okay. That sounds like maybe we could break that up over a couple. I'm just curious, because it's been really then.
Yeah, there's some guys that like.
They thought like local it's like, wrestlers?
Not really, like they had a tryout the week before in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
So there's like two hometown guys in it. It's kind of, it's a weird thing.
Yeah, that shouldn't be recognized as part of the canon. Yeah,
so in all reality, Rey Mysterio has the longest Rumble proper record.
Rumble proper?
Yes. In the in the canon, it's Rey Mysterio. And that kind of made sense because if you're going to have a face, you could have a face probably set the record, but you don't want him to always be the longest guy.
Okay.
And then, so Ted DiBiase starts, tosses out Coco Beware and Marty Jannetty right away. Like, they're just kind of the fodder.
Yeah, I think there's some usually a couple filler people that are in and out pretty quickly.
And then Jake the Snake came out, and that's who Ted DiBiase was feuding with at the time.
Oh.
And Savage comes out, Rowdy Piper.
I got to look at the list. I mean, I was, in this one, I will say, just looking at the names, the older ones, I feel like I knew a higher percentage of them.
Yeah, I think.
The older ones versus the newer ones.
Right, I thought so too.
I mean, yeah, I remember Haku coming out with his big afro.
Andre the Giant, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, this is kind of like the classics. I feel like this one and the next one we watched.
Yeah.
Definitely had the most, like, greatest hits per minute for me.
Right, yeah, I would agree with that. So then, Andre the Giant comes out and he gets eliminated by Demolition. And that was important to set up the WrestleMania 6 tag match.
Ah. So,
a lot of, especially at these earlier ones, who you were eliminated by might show who you're going to wrestle at WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
Or at least they'll be involved. You'll be involved with someone that you might. And then the biggest name I would say at one point is the Ultimate Warrior comes out at 21. And then at 25, Hulk Hogan comes out. And they had kind of been like...
Yeah, they had a moment.
They had been talking up beforehand, like, oh, what if Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior end up meeting up in the middle of the ring? You know, what'll happen? Because Warrior was the Intercontinental Champion, Hogan was the World Champ, and they were the two biggest guys. So they eventually clear the ring.
Yep.
And have a little
moment.
Little moment with each other where they go at it. That's
what I wrote my notes. They have a moment.
But nothing too big happened. They end up hitting each other with a double clothesline. And then... Actually, two heels come out. Rick Rude kind of jumps the gun to...
Oh, that's right,
to make it even. And then Hulk Hogan accidentally eliminates the Ultimate Warrior.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah.
Was he not supposed to?
No, he was. Okay. But he just always happens to eliminate other faces, but...
Gotcha.
That's a thing for another...
a different podcast.
Yeah, so then Hulk Hogan, and it ends up being Rick Rude, Hercules, Mr. Perfect, and Hulk Hogan...
Left in the ring.
Yes. Yeah. And at this point, you predicted it would be?
Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Yes. Was... Yeah, because I was telling Ryan, like, before, as we watched those, I was never going to be able to predict, like, the order.
Right.
But when it got down to four, I would guess.
Yeah.
And who I thought would be, you know, the 3-4 out and then the 1-2.
Right.
Which one of them I got completely wrong.
There was a couple you got completely wrong.
Okay. No. Well, if you break it into, like, 50-50 for each top 1, 2, and 3, and 4... I increase my odds a little bit.
Yeah, if you do that. So Hulk Hogan had 6 eliminations, and so did the Ultimate Warrior. So they were the two top getters in that.
Well, that doesn't really mean anything, does it?
I mean,
it means something, but Hulk Hogan still won.
Yeah.
Who has the most eliminations left to date?
Ever? Like, ever. Total?
Ever.
Kane.
Kane?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he's been in a lot.
20, so.
Fair enough. Just playing the odds.
Roman Reigns has the most in a single Rumble.
Oh, what's that?
12, I think.
Ooh, whoa.
So, in the end, it comes down to Hulk Hogan and Mr. Perfect, and
yep.
Of course,
Hulk Hogan, Hogan wins. Pose. Yes, yes, yes. I feel like Hogan and Cena are usually safe bets for figuring out who's going to win. Although that did throw me for one of them, but we'll get to that. Getting a little ahead of ourselves, but no, overall I like this one.
Like I think it's really good. Like, there's always something going on in the ring, and there's all not only just something going on, but there's always like two guys that have some sort of story or something.
Yeah, that part was a little lost on me. I don't really know. I still don't know all the stories.
Right.
All the soap opera aspect to it.
So then we skip the 1991 edition. It's a fine show, but not.
What's this poster we have hanging above us?
That's the 1991 Rumble.
I thought so.
Yes, it is. Yes. And then we went to the Knickerbocker Arena.
Mm-hmm. Good old Albany, New York. And for the world title.
Yes. The world title is vacant because of various shenanigans and Hulk Hogan Undertaker matches. So President Jack Tunney said, we're not doing this. We're just going to have everyone in the Rumble.
Ooh.
And whoever wins is the undisputed world champion.
Well, so, that's one way to do it.
The Knickerbocker Arena. I was.
Yeah, in Albany. So we were kind of joking that there wouldn't be a lot about this, but it actually, since it is, I was telling you, it's a lot of people who can't get to shows in New York City or Boston would go to the Knickerbocker Arena. It opened with a performance by Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
Yeah, 1990. And then this was an unsighted Wikipedia fact, but there's two bands that played the most concerts here between 1990 and 1995. Which bands do you think they were? They're very similar.
Grateful Dead.
Yep. And?
Fish?
Yep.
No. Really?
Yeah. Fish was around that? Yeah. Although I should pull up Wikipedia again. I think one of them, or they both had like 12 shows. Like some like ridiculous amount in like a 6-year span. That kind of makes sense. Really?
The Grateful Dead would do like 3 shows like at
all
a time.
At time. So like they do that makes 3-day
stay. So if they did that 4 times.
Yeah.
They would make it.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. I was thinking they're coming back like every 6 months. But what you said makes.
Yeah, I'm surprised the attendance it says is 17,000. So that's pretty.
It's a decent size.
I mean, for a non real big market stadium, it's pretty big.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about upstate New York.
Yeah, neither do I, but that seems big at least.
Yeah. So, it's respectable.
Yeah. So again, very similar to the 90 Rumble, there's a bunch of interviews beforehand.
Yep.
Everyone gets their little say, and piece. Now they're all talking about how they're going to become world champion.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah.
So it starts with the British Bulldog and him and Ted DiBiase, and he tosses Ted DiBiase's in there for a minute 16 only.
Yeah, that sounds right. And then this is the one where as soon as Ric Flair came out, I was like, I think this is the Ric Flair one.
Yeah, it is.
For whatever reason, I remember watching this before my friend's wedding. Well, that was before we got married. That was 2013. Yes. I remember just before we drove out to the suburbs, you turned this on.
Yep.
I forget why. Just probably it's a good one. It's good.
It's pretty good. It's,
yeah, and I think we watched the whole thing, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
So this is not my first time
watching
the 1992 Rumble.
I mean, it's pretty much universally agreed it's the best Rumble.
Definitely.
It's easily the best commentary in a match ever with Bobby Heenan just losing his mind and the whole time Gorilla Monsoon just needling him along and the Barbarian doesn't like Ric Flair.
Oh, I forgot to ask the 1990 Rumble. Did that make your list?
Yes, it did. It made it at, that was the number 66 match.
Oh, okay. How did it end up there?
Just kind of. Well, I only ranked 3 Rumbles.
Okay. I assume this 1992 one is on the list.
It's very high, yes. Okay. And the 90 Rumble just kind of, I knew the two other ones were going to be the bottom 50, and then I just kind of started picking, like, where did it, is it better than this match? And just kind
your
of,
own internal
brackets. Yeah, just and I mean, like, the bottom 50 you could switch probably all the order any day. It's just what I felt like at that moment.
Yeah, every 6 months you're going to revisit your list.
Yes, and
reorder
it. Some matches will be knocked out, some matches will be put back in.
We have to refresh it every year. Is this going to be like a annual thing that they do the greatest matches of all time? Not annual, but is it going to be like?
I'm not sure. I know this year they're doing WCW.
That's right.
So that is a new thing to do to look at. And so Ric Flair's in, and you get Shawn, a newly, very newly minted heel Shawn Michaels.
Oh.
This was right after he had thrown Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Oh, yeah. Up,
which broke up the Rockers and started Shawn Michaels. And actually, shortly after this, he would get his theme music, which he still uses.
Yeah, Sexy Boy. What was his theme music before?
Just Rocker theme music.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, first it was the theme. It's the same theme music, but it's sung by his manager at the time, Sensational Sherry.
Mm.
And then after she got hit with a mare.
Oh, that's not good.
Because Marty Jannetty tried to hit Shawn Michaels
with it. Oh, I kind of remember.
But he missed and hit Sherry. So then Shawn Michaels ended up starting singing his own music.
Well, that's Shawn Michaels singing that song?
Yeah.
The Sexy Boy song?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
That's Shawn Michaels?
Yes.
Doesn't sound like him.
Alexa, play Sexy Boy, Shawn Michaels.
Sexy Boy, Shawn Michaels, WWE, Jimmy Hart and J.J. McGuire, starting now on Amazon Music.
Listen, I think I'm cute. No, I'm sexy.
I can't keep saying the words all of him singing.
Well, it's like the Ron Weller, William Shatner version, dramatically singing.
I never knew that was him singing.
Yes, yes.
Who else sings their own sing? Like a lot of them? John Cena sings
John Cena.
Right. That's why I was asking that question. I'm like, wait, I know John
Cena. That's not too many people do. The Rougeaus, the Mountie.
Oh, yeah. What?
Alexa, stop. So, yeah, that's
kind
of just a thing he would do.
I didn't know that was him.
And then they kind of have...
It's kind of like shout singing.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, it's not like he's really crooning there, but...
No.
So then they have, like, a lot of lower guys here. Shawn Michaels, Tito Santana, the Repo Man. I was a big fan of him making his goofy-ass run to the ring.
I liked him, too. Yeah, like I said, this is another one where not every single person that came out, but a lot of them, it was like, oh, there's the Repo Man.
And there's Big Boss Man, and then Big Boss Man kind of eliminates himself.
Right.
Like, charges at Ric Flair and almost decapitates himself on the bottom rope.
That's right.
It's kind of scary, but then I think I called it the halfway point at 15, which makes sense, and that's when Roddy Piper comes out.
Right.
And Roddy Piper, and eventually Jake Roberts comes out also, and that's just a great little three-way feud fight they have with Jake first hanging back because he's a heel, and then attacking. And
I was trying to look who's in this the least amount of time.
Least is
don't look at the list. Guess
it's probably Nikolai Volkoff. He's pretty quick in and out.
He's a minute 3. Ted DiBiase is a minute 18. Don't see anything lower than that. Yep, that's it.
That makes sense. Cause
I'm not going to ask who's in the most, because everybody.
Yeah, that's a good answer. And then, so, after Roddy Piper, it starts filling up with, like, more name guys.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker comes out at 20. Then Randy Savage comes out, eliminates Jake the Snake Roberts, and immediately jumps over the top rope to continue beating on him.
That's right.
And the announcers have to cover for him.
Oh, that's right.
And they say that
he didn't get thrown over the top rope.
So
was that a mistake? Was he not supposed to do that?
Probably.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like how he always entered and exited the rings.
Yeah, so. Why would you get out of the ring, like, underneath the ropes to, like, beat someone up?
Especially to attack the woman who slapped your wife.
The woman?
The guy who slapped your wife.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they conveniently said, he didn't get thrown over the top.
As the Undertaker just threw him back in because he wasn't supposed to go off for quite a while. So, yeah, they get him back in there. And then, so Hulk Hogan then comes out at 26. He was 25 in the 90 Rumble, so he never put in that much time.
No.
Here he has 11 minutes. Sid Justice comes out at 29, and he is. They make a big deal about him.
Did that? I don't remember. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this.
Why
was
he a big deal?
He had just come in and was like a big new guy and super juiced up. And
yeah, it's not really a name that I remember.
So, who do you think was in the second most time?
After Ric Flair?
Yeah.
I gotta look at the names.
I'll give you a clue. It's on this bracket. It's after 8.
Well, yeah. Oh. I like how Erwin Arschseister's name is spelled out. That's not who my guess is. Is it Roddy Piper?
Yeah, he was in 35 minutes. 34 minutes. IRS was in 27 minutes, though. You shouldn't shy down on him. I think that's
I could have guessed IRS.
So then the final...
I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, very good.
It was an educated guess, but I wasn't really sure.
So the final four in this was Randy Savage, Sid, Ric Flair, and Hulk Hogan. And as you said, you knew that Ric Flair would win. But you did not have the 2 and 3 correct,
I think. No, I think I said Sid Justice would be out first.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And then I thought it would come down to, and then Randy Savage, then Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but no, Sid Justice really easily takes care of Randy Savage. It's almost like off-screen even.
Right, yeah, I did not expect that.
And then as Hulk Hogan is trying to toss Ric Flair, Sid Justice comes over and tosses Hulk Hogan
pretty easily. Yeah, I got that one wrong. Yeah, this one you're right, I did get very wrong.
And then, of course, after that happens, Hulk Hogan helps Ric Flair really eliminate Sid by pulling his arm.
That's right.
And Ric Flair runs to the back while Sid and Hulk Hogan push each other in the ring. And surprisingly, not what WWE planned at the time, Sid is getting more cheers than Hulk Hogan.
Ooh, and Hulk Hogan is
getting boos. Which I think they kind of, he's being an asshole and he helped Ric Flair, who's the number one heel, win, so he should have been booed. So
he did.
And then they go to the back, and one of the best interview segments of all time.
Nuts.
Ric Flair is crazy, screaming. Bobby Heenan's
in Mr. Perfect. They're all like whooping it up. Both have
shit-eating grins, and Mean Gene just wants someone to put that cigarette out.
Tell me about that line.
No one's really sure what happened. It's just someone apparently backstage started smoking and Mean Gene did not enjoy it. I guess it's Vince McMahon hates smoke. So it rubbed off on people backstage that if they saw smoke, they would just...
Well, nowadays you can't really smoke
anywhere.
But I guess in 1992 you probably could.
Yeah. There's story on a podcast about how Vince McMahon was on a plane and someone in front of him started smoking. So he became the real $1 million man and started offering him $100 bills to put the cigarette out.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
Did the guy put a cigarette out?
I think eventually after $500 or $600.
Jeez, you must really hate smoke.
Yeah. Well, he also hates people coughing around him.
Oh, so it's like a germaphobe thing.
Well, that's why him and El Presidente are such good friends.
They're both germaphobes?
Maybe. That's one reason.
Is Presidente a germaphobe?
Oh, yeah. Huge germaphobe. But he eats McDonald's all the time.
I was going to say, never mind.
So that is, I think that's pretty much the gold standard for Rumbles. And it was...
It
was in my top 10 for a while, then it dropped out to number 13.
Okay. Still respectable.
Yes, I think. And it's kind of like, again, it was in, I put it in top 10 right away, but then there were some matches I couldn't make it higher than the ladder match from WrestleMania.
Gotcha. 10. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, on any given day you might kind of shuffle it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Have we watched for this podcast all of your top 10?
No, there's a couple matches we haven't.
Okay. I was curious. Probably get to the rest of them. Okay, then we move ahead in time 9 years.
Yes, we go.
So we skip all the all the 90s.
Yeah.
No good.
There's good ones, but I kind of wanted to get an Attitude Era Rumble in it, and I thought this was the best of the bunch.
Okay.
Of that time frame. So this is 2001, and this is when it's just for the shot at WrestleMania.
No point to the sign.
Yes. Well, there was no sign yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did the sign get there?
It didn't start until 2004. For WrestleMania 20 is when the sign first made its appearance.
Oh, I thought that was always a thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, no, no.
This is in the New Orleans arena, yep. Which is now the Smoothie King.
Yes, the Smoothie
King. Not a lot going on with them, but its nickname is the Blunder.
Oh.
So that was kind of fun. Nice.
I do know it's right next to the Superdome.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So when they've had WrestleMania at the Superdome, all the other events take place at the Smoothie King.
Makes sense. Yeah. And there was a really weird non-wrestler in this.
Yes. So throughout the show, they show clips backstage of Drew Carey.
Of course,
for Drew Carey's Comedy Improv All-Stars event.
Cleveland's finest.
Yes. And
is he from Cleveland, or is the Drew Carey show just set in Cleveland?
I think he's from Cleveland.
I'll look it up.
It'd be kind of weird if he's not.
Well, I don't know. I feel like you can set comedies in random Rust Belt cities. You don't have to be from there.
Raised in the old Brooklyn neighborhood of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Is that him? Is that a picture of young Drew Carey over there?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a corporal in the U.S. Marines.
Wow.
In 1980, and served 6 years as a field radio operator.
Huh. He looks really...
For a short time, he worked as a bank teller and a waiter at Denny's after the Marines.
Interesting. Well, we'll just spend more time on that Wikipedia page after this podcast.
So it starts with the Hardys and the Right to Censor with the tie.
Yeah.
And then Drew Carey comes out.
Limited by himself.
Yes. So Drew Carey comes out. Both Hardys fall out. And Drew Carey celebrates because he thinks he won.
That's right.
And then King comes out. And Drew Carey tries offering him money.
That's right. And then he just jumps out of the ring.
Then King goes to choke slam him in. Raven comes out. Hits Kane with a stick.
That's right.
And Drew Carey happily tosses himself over the top rope. And now, in 2001, that counts as an elimination.
Right. Yes, it did it when Macho Man. When Macho Man did it, didn't count.
Yeah, the rules are always
over the ring.
It's always
Drew Carey, there's different rules for Drew Carey than there is for Macho Man.
There's also different rules just depending on the time. Like, sometimes if you're thrown out by someone who's been eliminated, it does count. Sometimes it doesn't count.
You mean the wrestling rules aren't consistent?
Yes, I know. It's crazy. So then Kane goes on a tear and eliminates...
That's right. Yeah, it says eliminates 11 people in this one Rumble.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is right away because this is kind of typical Attitude Era. They have like the weapons, hardcore guys.
How he like just tosses everybody
out right away. The hardcore guys.
And this is where I had my notes too. I did not really know a lot of these. I thought...
Yeah.
I would know more of these recent ones, especially the 2010 or the ones we watched when we were dating, but I did not.
Yeah. So, and then even the Honky Tonk Man comes out.
That's right.
And sings a song, and Kane bashes him with the guitar and then throws him. And then The Rock comes out, and The Rock stays quite a while.
Yeah, I was going to ask, let's do the highest and lowest. Well, who was in
Kane is the longest. You could actually.
Wow, yeah, he's like 53 minutes. Okay.
Shortest is probably Taz. He's like
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
And The Good Father. How did you sort this?
I thought through time, but I guess the top two and then the lowest.
It's definitely not in any order. Well, kind
of. Yeah, it is. It's like two highest and then descending.
And then it's, never mind. I misread one of those numbers. Yep, so yeah, Taz.
Yeah, so Taz and The Good Father's not much longer. He's 13 seconds.
Right, 10, 13 seconds.
Both times they come out and they're just thrown because they're getting in the way of Rock and Kane.
Gotcha.
And then it kind of fills up again.
So you really don't want the spot where two big name guys are fighting because you know you're going to
Be in. Unless you're, then Bradshaw comes in and he's actually in there for 15 minutes. So he kind of stopped. And then it kind of fills up again with guys until the Big Show makes his return. He had been gone for 7 months.
He's been around a while.
Yeah. He's been around a long time.
Is he still wrestling?
Every once in a while he still pops up. Not
all the time.
All the time, but he was on Raw just 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
wrestling and I guess
being the big mediocre wrestler that he is.
Yeah, he just kind of shows up, does his thing and goes home now.
Well, yeah. It's like, I'm big. I don't have to.
Yeah.
I don't have to be good. I'm big.
And then, so the Big Show comes out. He actually only eliminates two people and then just chokeslams everyone, but then The Rock is able to kind of sneak around him and toss him out. And then Big Show pulls him out of the ring from underneath the ring.
That's right.
The rope. So it's not doesn't eliminated.
Count. Doesn't count.
And chokeslams him through the table.
That's right. Yeah. That was good.
Then the Undertaker comes out and reveals that him and Kane are back together again.
Aw.
And they kill everyone who...
That's right,
including
yeah.
poor Scotty Too Hotty, who comes out and just gets destroyed.
Yep, yeah, he didn't last very long.
And then Steve Austin comes out, and he gets hit with Triple H, comes out, attacks him.
That's right. When did Triple H enter?
He's not in it. He fought Kurt Angle for the title earlier.
Oh, that's right. This is the one where he like was locked to the side.
Yeah, and beats him with a pipe. Because earlier in the title match, Steve Austin came out and attacked Triple H in the match.
Gotcha.
They have been feuding for a while.
Okay.
Because Triple H hit him with a car. Again, Attitude Era was different. And then to get back, Steve Austin picked him up in a scissor lift and dropped him in, while Triple H was in a car trying to hit him again with a car and dropped him 40 feet, they said.
Yeah, so, there's some interesting tactics. Interesting time.
So Steve Austin comes in and then Haku makes his glorious return.
That's right. This is where he was really old and had a giant afro.
His giant afro. This was 9 years he had been gone. And at the time, it was the dying days of WCW.
Okay, so the 1992 Rumble was his last time he was in a Rumble. Oh.
Yeah. And he was actually the WCW Hardcore Champion at the time.
He was.
And they didn't have him under contract.
Oh, yeah.
So he just gave the title to one of the security guards at the WCW show the night before.
Over.
Went over to show up on the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, like you said, they didn't really have a good...
Yeah, they weren't doing
processes. Well, that's good.
And then Rikishi comes out. So Haku and Rikishi kind of, for a while, a short while here, had a Islander reunion.
Team up, yeah.
And so it gets down to Austin... It's actually Austin, Billy Gunn, Kane, and The Rock.
And this one, I think I can't remember if I did well on this one. I kind of
think you knew Billy Gunn was going.
Yeah, I said Billy Gunn, Kane, The Rock, Steve Austin.
I think that's what you said. I think he had The Rock winning.
You're right. Well, yeah. But I knew, once again, I kind of knew, like, the 3 and 4 would be Kane and Billy Gunn. I knew 1 and 2 would be The Rock, Steve Austin.
Which it is not. Kane actually eliminates The Rock.
That's right. I got this one wrong, too.
And then Steve Austin uses the chair 3 times to eliminate Kane and go to the WrestleMania. And, of course, it would be WrestleMania 17, Austin versus The Rock in the main event. Which, if I had told you that was the same year, would you have been able to figure out Steve Austin?
No.
Yeah. I thought that might be too much.
Yeah. I don't, like... I'm getting better at the timelines, but I don't know the exact...
No, and there's no need to.
...years and implications. Well, but I need to know all that. You don't need to know that.
I know
There's enough people in this household.
Yeah. Well, I'll teach Chariot also. He'll get it.
Okay.
So this one did not make the cut for me.
Yeah, I don't know why
it
would.
It's pretty good, though. It's definitely the best match that Kane ever had. He's in there 55 minutes, and he's like a focal point the whole time he's in. Good showing by a big guy like that.
Right.
And The Rock is also, I mean, he's 40 minutes in there, so he is a good show. And, of course, whenever he's in the ring, he's also going to be a focal point.
Right. But he was a little, I think, bloody when they got in, right?
Steve Austin's bloody.
Yeah, because he got beat up beforehand.
Right.
So...
Yep.
But no, that was fine. So, that's pretty much going to be probably middle of the road.
I thought it was interesting that they ended up giving Kane the last spot, because everyone knew, or everyone kind of thought WrestleMania was going to be Austin versus Rock. So they kind of, they had them fight for a little bit, but just to whet the appetite and not give it all to you.
Oh, yeah. Little teaser.
Yeah. And before we go on, we're going to take a quick pause to just remind you of all the great shows on the PTBN Wrestling feed. Plenty of great content for you on both of our podcast feeds here at Place to Be Nation.
We have plenty of great content for you right here on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, including...
The Place to Be podcast, the mothership of the PTBN, where co-hosts JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE.
PTBN main event with hosts Scott Coscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Weil, breaking down all the current events in the world of wrestling.
The Wrestling War Zone, podcast looking at the Monday Night Wars, brought to you by JT Rosero and Chad Campbell.
Row One, Seat One, an interesting look inside the world of small-time wrestling and beyond, small-town wrestling, excuse me, and beyond, with host Ben Zanny, welcoming in a variety of guests each week.
Then we have Talkin' WCW heads to center stage, where Tim Cable, Greg Phillips, and Jennifer Smith look at the legendary promotion from WCW, looking at certain wrestlers and three of their matches each edition.
I think combined. Oh. Extreme Three-Way Dance takes you back on a trek through the land of extreme with JT Rosero, John D'Amato, and Jennifer Smith.
Body Press Your Luck, a brand new wrestling game trivia show hosted by JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan.
With This Ring, in which husband and wife Ryan and Cindy Everett discuss specific matches in their respective fandoms.
We probably don't have to read
that
part.
That's nice. That's us.
You Don't Know Billy Jack, where Drew Wardlaw and his friend Jordan watch and discuss some of the greatest pro wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan. Search for a universal connection and pro wrestling storytelling. Kind of sounds familiar.
Plus, monthly WWE pay-per-view reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, No Holds Barred, Adam's Division, Special Relations, and Jeff Learns Wrestling.
Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Top Feed, littered with great content, offering tremendous shows like The Hard Traveling Fanboys, The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, DC4U, Marvel Age, The Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast, and much more. Subscribe today.
And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, MCU Journey, the Infinity, and more.
And on our social media pages, make sure you look at the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament. It is now underway. We are in round one. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. You don't want to miss a single one. Or actually just sign up on both so you could vote two times for your favorite show.
Is that what you've been doing?
Yes. Yeah.
What show have you been voting for?
Well, I mean...
Oh, each round.
Each round is a different show.
Yes, I've been noticing that as well. And we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. Oh. You have all year to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCWmatches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board.
And... coming later this year, that is how With This Ring will continue. We will eventually turn it into WCW matches and hope you enjoy that. And thank you very much. And let's go on with the show. So then we went to... Okay.
4 years later.
4 years later. Fresno, California.
Fresno, California.
The beautiful coast city of Fresno.
The coastal city of Fresno.
In the Save Mart Center at Fresno State.
Yes. Yeah. Not so. I was joking before we were recording that all these arenas that I look up all get rerouted to, you know, the naming rights have changed over. You know, 1, 2, 3, or the arena's, you know, gone.
Right.
But this is an arena that is still is called the Save Mart Center. It's been open, I think, about 18 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's impressive. So, it is the Fresno State or California State Fresno's arena.
Okay.
So the first match, the first athletic event there was a volleyball match versus a women's volleyball match versus University of Hawaii. And then that kind of...
they really pack them in for...
Yeah, they did not have any attendance for the women's volleyball. But do you know what the University of Hawaii's volleyball team is called? Or maybe all their sports teams?
Aren't they like the Warrior Rainbows?
Oh, yeah, it's a Rainbow Wahine.
Yeah, I think like they were the Warriors for a while.
Oh.
But that was too incorrect because it wasn't like Ultimate Warrior. It was like Indian Warrior.
Okay.
So they changed it to the Rainbows. And then, I don't know, Rainbow Wahine or...
yeah, I don't know what Rainbow Wahine means. But apparently that's their mascot.
Yeah.
Or their whatever. Yeah, their mascot.
Yeah. So...
okay. So yeah. This is Taz and JR, the announcers.
Yes, they have... because Taz was... the SmackDown announcer, JR was the Raw announcer, so they have one announcer from each show.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. And they were really, like the build up to it was really Raw versus SmackDown.
Oh, that's right.
They had a nice West Side Story commercial where they're all wearing like ridiculous wigs and getting a brawl.
That's right.
And so it starts with Eddie Guerrero. Well, first off, here, 2001, they only had really Chris Benoit backstage. I mean, Drew Carey in the backstage.
Oh, interviews. That's right.
But here they have a bunch of different guys picking their numbers.
Right. I
including
like that.
Eddie Guerrero stealing. Ric Flair is very happy about his number. And then Eddie Guerrero switches his number with him and also steals his wallet, we later find out.
Oh, so this is kind of like older, more like goofy.
Well, that's why like
Ric Flair's always kind of goofy though.
Yeah. Yeah. And Eddie Guerrero was great at playing like the the smooth talking stealer, but with a heart of gold.
Pocket, yeah. Yeah, no, I like Eddie Guerrero.
So, and then he ends up having to enter number one, so that's why he was looking to change his number.
Gotcha.
And Chris Benoit enters number two, and then him and Eddie Guerrero go at it for a little bit, and then...
Yeah, I wrote too many chest slaps.
Yeah, so Daniel Pewter, who was...
Who's that? Oh, that's right.
He was the rookie who had won Tough Enough.
That's reality show. Yeah.
So he comes out and they just like literally beat the crap out of him.
Yep.
Eventually throwing him out.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, you have to do without looking at that sorting, longest and shortest.
Chris Benoit was the longest. And then
I should just believe you because I don't like how this is colored.
Well, it's Raw and SmackDown.
Oh. Okay. And who was the least...
Shortest? Scotty Too Hotty, like, didn't enter. He gets attacked.
Yeah. Does that count? Well, it hasn't listed as zero.
Okay.
It says, eliminated by... It says, attacked by Muhammad Hassan before entering the ring.
Right.
So he just never got in?
Yeah, I guess they just brought him back. And then outside of that, maybe...
You're right. That's the second shortest...
Is it Hardcore Holly? Probably not. There's probably someone else.
Yeah, there's someone. I just lost it. No, you're right. I misread that. Yep.
Hardcore Holly. Oh, no, it's Muhammad Hassan. Oh.
54 seconds.
Yep. Yeah, because he comes in and.
They get tossed.
Everyone turns their attention to him and throws him out.
Wait, no, Kurt Angle's only there for 37 seconds.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, because he comes in. And, like, is suplexing everyone, and then Shawn Michaels kicks him out.
Oh, Simon Dean, 20... No, I sorted it. Okay. I should have done that in the first place. So Sky Too Hotty was the least, then Simon Dean.
Oh, yeah. 20 seconds. He was the guy who was, like, exercising outside the ring.
Oh, yeah. Then Shawn Michaels just said,
threw him in and him out.
So Muhammad Hassan is actually the fourth shortest.
Okay.
Or third shortest.
All right.
And he was limited by a lot of people.
Yeah, so everyone... So they have the Raw versus SmackDown, like, showdown where it's four on each side and they go at it. And then as they're all fighting, Muhammad Hassan comes out. And the one thing they could all agree on is United. Let's throw the Arab guy out of the ring right away.
Right.
And then...
Well, it can always unite over a common enemy.
Yes, and then as he's slowly leaving, Scotty Too Hotty comes out and... He attacks him, and
he's
not unable to continue.
Poor Scotty Too Hotty.
And then, Simon Dean comes out, and he's doing his little
stretches
squats
and squats. Yeah,
exercises.
Shawn Michaels is having none of it.
Yeah, throws him in and throws him out. And then Kurt Angle comes out, and I was kind of
surprised.
Only 30
seconds,
but he had wrestled in the title match earlier.
Oh,
and
like
they show him stealing Nunzio's ball to be in the Rumble at one point.
That's right, yeah.
And so he, like, came in, suplexed everyone, and then Shawn Michaels kicks him out. And then he pulls Shawn Michaels out.
That's right.
And hits him with the stairs and stuff to eliminate Shawn Michaels.
So this guy, so Kurt Angle was already eliminated when he eliminated Shawn Michaels?
Yes.
But that was okay?
That was a thing where it was like Shawn Michaels was unable to continue.
Gotcha.
Because he's, like, busted open and helped to the back.
Yeah.
And then... We have Jonathan Coachman come out.
Don't know who that is.
He was the announcer who was, like, on the bottom rope the whole time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then John Cena comes out at 26. He gets a little run of eliminating people.
Yep.
And then Batista comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then at number 30, the great Ric Flair comes out.
That's right. He wasn't in for very long. That no, two but minutes.
He does his part. Him and Batista do a little combo.
What was the name of their little...
They were Evolution.
Evolution.
With Triple H at the time.
That's right.
Randy Orton used to be in the group, but he had been kicked out by this point.
Oh, okay. And yeah, Ric Flair was just kind of there to...
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of like a comedy character almost, because he... Like, Batista would beat someone up, Ric Flair would toss him out, and then at one point, Ric Flair celebrating that they tossed someone and tries to throw Batista and just, like, falls to the ground. And then Edge tosses Ric Flair. Our final four here was it was Batista, John Cena, Edge, and Rey Mysterio.
Okay, and I think my prediction was it would be end up with Batista and Cena,
yeah.
And then Rey Mysterio and Edge go out first.
Right.
That's what I got right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and then I thought Cena was going to win, but This is where the shenanigans started.
So it's Batista and Cena, and then Batista goes for the powerbomb, and they both fall to the floor at the same time. And since there's Raw refs and SmackDown refs, they each declare their guy the winner.
That's how they did it.
And then...
Very partisan.
Yeah. Well, you have to respect the brand.
I guess.
And then Vince McMahon stops after the ring.
He gets very angry.
Gets in the ring and blows out...
Oh, that's right.
This both of his quads somehow.
Yeah, he's like...
I guess that's what's going to happen when you're a 56-year-old guy who's just guzzling steroids all the time, because...
Well, it's kind of weird. Like, smacked his, shins into the, or his quads into the
I guess apron. I think sometime they said that he blew out one doing that, and then by trying to get up, the other one blew up from, overcompensation or something.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, then he's just sitting.
Sitting on the floor of the ring.
The floor of the ring while, each ref pleads their case, and then he decides that it's not going to end like this. It's going to resume with both of these guys, and Batista quickly tosses John Cena.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and this one I kind of thought, I'm off one. I feel like Batista was hot at the time.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a total surprise to me that Batista would win, just the whole thing at the end. Where I guess now that I think I knew at the time it was Raw versus SmackDown, but... Right. That does make a little bit more sense to me that that's how they did play it.
And I think, at this time, it was kind of surprising because John Cena was, a full-fledged face, obviously. He has been for the last 15 years. But Batista was actually technically still a heel because he was with Triple H and Ric Flair. And then when he won this, a month later, he decides that he's going to face Triple H for the title at WrestleMania and turns full face.
Gotcha.
But even here, he was, getting cheered and stuff.
Right, right. What was I going to say about that?
I thought this was a good snapshot of, the mid-2000s.
Yeah, this is another one where I didn't really know a lot of the people in it.
Oh, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Paul London. He's the guy who's on the apron, and Gene Snitsky hits him with a clothesline. Where he does a full 360 off the apron before landing on his face.
Yeah. That was quite the move.
Yes. So, yeah, this one also did not make it. It was just a little off. Very good Rumble, though, I thought.
I think they're overall, it's hard to have a bad Rumble. Because there's always enough action going on.
Well, in recent years, they've had some bad ones.
Yeah, okay.
It's because they wanted to stick it to the fans.
Oh, was that why?
Yes.
Oh, how did Vince McMahon get out of the ring if he couldn't walk?
They really don't show it on camera. I think just, referees helped them to the back, probably. I would assume that's what they did.
Yeah.
Because they have, a bunch of referees down there, so they could have spared a couple. Especially, they probably waited until... Because the end is, 30 seconds
that's
after
true.
The restart, yeah. So... While Batista was celebrating, they probably just helped him.
Scooted
him out.
Okay. Okay. Then we move forward to 2010.
Yes.
Look at the poster. It's very telling.
Yes. But
actually, no, it's not. No, I got messed up again.
Yep.
This is the Atlanta and the Phillips Arena.
Yep.
I did find something. Let's see about that. So it replaced the Omni Arena, and they still have the original scoreboard hanging up. They transferred that over.
Oh.
That was pretty cool. And the first event was a 1999 concert by Elton John.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, in this one, it's Raw, SmackDown, and ECW.
Oh.
Three brands. Although
What's ECW again?
It was like the Paul Heyman group in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And then in 2005, it came back, under the WWE banner, though.
Oh, okay.
And originally, it was supposed to be, they said it was going to be, the original ECW, but it kind of morphed into, what really would become NXT.
Oh,
it started having, a lot of young guys that would be where they start.
Gotcha.
And in WWE.
Okay.
But people were upset that they called it ECW still when it wasn't really that
people have
brand.
Yeah. To focus on some bigger problems.
Exactly. So Dolph Ziggler and Evan Bourne start out and
they're
doing their thing, and then CM Punk comes out.
Oh yeah, and this is CM Punk
full on Jesus.
Right. How long was he that character?
Well, it was he'd always been straight edge.
Right.
But really this cult leader thing he did for about a year and a half.
Okay. That wasn't my favorite shtick.
Kind of, it really ramped it up right around here though, where he's got followers and would give sermons mid-match.
Right, and he had a woman with a shaved head and big boobs out with him the whole time.
Yes, Serena.
What's her deal?
She was one of his followers, and they had her cut her hair in the middle of the ring to pledge allegiance to CM Punk.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So Punk gets a lot of quick eliminations of guys, and then when the Great Khali comes out, CM Punk promises that he can make him even greater, but Khali will not hear this. And then Beth Phoenix comes out.
Oh, that's right.
Forgot. Is the second woman in Rumble history?
Who was the first one?
China.
Oh, I should have figured that.
And Beth Phoenix actually eliminates the Great Khali with a kiss.
That's right.
As she pulls him over. And then Punk eliminates Beth Phoenix, and then Punk's fun ends when Triple H comes out.
Yeah. Sorry. We have Unsolved Mysteries on.
Yes, and Jordan
Kids on the, and New Kids on the Block is now talking on it.
Yes, I don't know what's going on here.
I'm very distracted. So, I think there was a girl who's missing that I think at our concert.
Perhaps.
I don't know. We'll have to go back and revisit this.
Pause this and I don't know if we
could do. Can we pause it on this Pluto TV? It's episode 24. Of whatever
season.
She
raped and murdered Carrie Nixon.
Was she at the New Kids on the Block concert?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, maybe she was a big fan, just.
Why are they interviewing the band?
I don't know.
Why is the band on Unsolved Mysteries?
I don't know. Maybe Jordan Knight has a ghost.
Maybe.
He's worried about it also.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, So Triple H comes out and eventually.
Okay. We have to do highest and lowest.
Okay.
Let me sort it because we don't have to do what happened last time.
This is
the lowest. No, this is the lowest. And this also, this sorter thing isn't really. It was a lot of really short ones.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's for whatever reason, it's sorted at the top two, bottom two. Oh, and the longest ones are only not even that long.
Right. It's kind of a very segmented Rumble.
Yeah. Okay. So what are the two shortest?
Well,
I'll give you credit.
JTG?
No. He was 25 seconds. There's three people shorter than him. Can you name one of them or two of them?
Miz and MVP.
Yep. MVP was the shortest, and then the Miz. Oh, MVP, I know that was Montel Vontavious Porter.
Yeah, that's his name.
Okay, well, he eliminated himself.
Well, he clotheslines the Miz out, and they both go over.
Okay, yeah. So the Miz was 17 seconds, he was 7. Who was the most?
Shawn Michaels?
He was the second most.
John Cena?
Yep, and that was 27 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It's really short.
Yeah.
Considering all the other ones we watched, it was 45 hours.
Yeah. Well, it's only a 50-minute match.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, they, when Batista comes out at 30, and it's, he's in there 5 minutes. So,
oh, okay.
And he's the second tallest. So it's like probably 6 minutes from the last guy entering to the end of it.
Fair enough.
Which I think it worked for this. That's kind of why I like, it's very, like, from the time Shawn Michaels comes on till the end, it's very quick, I thought. Like,
right,
quick hits, nothing drags from that point on. And even the part, there's really from Triple H till Shawn Michaels, it kind of drags. They kind of have, like, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase in there. Yeah. That kind of drags a little bit. But then Shawn Michaels on, it's pretty much big hitters and everyone is important.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was really anyone could win.
Yeah, I got the end of this one completely
and
wrong.
So Edge had been gone since July.
Yeah, I didn't realize that
and was. And they said he was going to be out for like a year. So it was a big surprise that he came back.
Okay. Yeah, so who was the last four? I got this
it
one
was
completely wrong.
Edge, Batista, John Cena, and was Shawn Michaels? Yeah, and Shawn Michaels. And the whole thing, for like a month beforehand, Shawn Michaels had been talking about how he wanted to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania because he had lost at WrestleMania 25. So he wanted a rematch. And Undertaker was the SmackDown champ at the time. So he had to win the Rumble.
Oh, very complicated.
So that's why when he's eliminated, he like goes nuts and attacks the referees.
That's right. Yeah, he's a poor loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, no, and this is one where I thought it was going to come down to Batista Cena again. I thought, oh, Edge is out right away. Shawn Michaels is out. And then, I think who was the first of the four?
Batista eliminates Shawn Michaels.
That's right.
And then John Cena gets eliminated by Edge for the win. And although, don't worry, because Edge and, or Batista and John Cena ended up fighting each other for the title at WrestleMania in the match we watched.
Oh, okay.
Because both titles change hands the next month, the February pay-per-view, make sure that everything could be aligned at WrestleMania.
Gotcha.
And in that, at that Elimination Chamber, the last two guys in are Undertaker and Chris Jericho, and Shawn Michaels comes up from underneath the chamber.
Oh.
And super kicks the Undertaker, so the Undertaker loses the title.
Oh, no.
So the Undertaker will want to face him at WrestleMania.
Oh, he had it out for him. What, we watched any Elimination Chamber matches? I can't really picture what that looks like.
No, it's kind of like a huge dome, chain dome over it. And there's the four little pods with guys in them.
That sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah.
How's that different than Hell in a Cell? Because the pods?
The pods, and it's...
They have pods in War Games, too.
Yeah, well, those are shark cages.
Oh, okay.
Big difference.
Excuse us. Excuse me. Okay, well...
So anyways. I like this one because, like I said, it's very quick pace. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, I didn't realize Edge was that important.
When he won,
I was like, really?
I could see that.
Edge? Yeah. Really?
Him?
Him? Exactly. Her?
So this did make my list.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is the one I always was a fan of. I think I'm maybe more than most people, but...
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think just because this was a time where... There were good matches, but they kind of all just globbed together. But for this, I remember I watched it in my bedroom on a pirated site. So
nice.
I think the statute of limitations is passed probably on that.
Oh, 10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
keep it on the download.
Exactly.
But yeah, I remember...
Don't mention the website.
Yeah. I'm sure it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Or it was somewhere in Sweden.
Right.
But no, I just always remember really liking it and... Because I didn't really even watch pay-per-views that much then. I'd watch them like the day later, but I actually watched this live.
Oh, okay.
I was actually determined to watch the Royal Rumble.
So the Royal Rumble 2010, that was right before we started
dating. About,
2 months?
A month? 2 months, yeah.
I'd met you, but we weren't dating.
Right, yeah, that's true.
I didn't know you were home alone watching the Royal Rumble.
I wasn't alone.
Oh.
I still lived at home with my parents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, even better.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was fine. I mean, just looking at the list, for me, I think the two older ones are definitely my favorite.
Right.
That's a clear one and two. I guess I'll put Ric Flair at the one.
Right.
The 1990 at my second. And then the other three, yeah, kind of On all of them, to be honest. I don't feel it very strongly. The Drew Carey thing was kind of weird. The ref confusion 2005 was kind of weird. And then 2010 was Thorny Shenanigans. I think I'm getting confused with the match where Edge is hiding underneath the cage.
Oh, that's the Hell in the Cell Batista vs. Undertaker.
Yeah. I didn't like that. Maybe that's why I'm just like, Edge, get out of here.
not big on it. You're used to Edge in his tag team role.
Right. I like
anything
him.
Above that is...
I want him on his ladders.
I'm concerned.
Christian. I don't want to throw him around, so I'm going to put that in my butt.
A lot of people actually feel that way.
Don't
Some people
around.
Think he's like an all-time great. Some people think he peaked in a tag team.
Yeah, and that's fine if you peaked in a tag team.
Plenty of people have done very well with that.
Right, so I'm going to put that at my last one. And then I guess they'll do the Drew Carey one at number 3 and the Save Mart at number 4.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter because I don't have a list. Right. Oh, I think I should do a WCW list.
I think that would be a good idea. We might be doing that eventually down the line. But I think our next one, it's time for... the ladies to come out
for
the Women's
right.
Revolution.
So we'll like to hear.
I think one older match, like, and then most of it will be in the past couple of years.
Makes sense.
Unless you want to watch a lot of bra and panty lingerie matches.
Yeah, well, if we're going for quality of matches, then probably wouldn't make the cut.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Yeah, but no, I thought this was good. I think it's good to stay on theme. You know, this probably will air after, but right now we're recording this right before.
Right.
The Royal Rumble season. 2020. Rumble season.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah. And then
time to get your signs, hang them high up in the rafters, and start pointing at them.
Well, yeah. When we lived in one of our apartments, you made a little WrestleMania.
WrestleMania 30, of course.
Oh, yes. Yeah. For the WrestleMania 30.
Had the sign. Let the good times roll.
Yeah. Maybe you and Harry can make a WrestleMania. What are they on now?
36.
36. Yeah, 36. You and Harry can make a little WrestleMania 36.
We'll make it a pirate ship.
Oh, this is in Tampa, right?
Yeah, the logo is a little pirate flag.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
So, Tampa, is any of the crew from the Place to Be Nation?
Oh, yeah, they got a tailgate set up, as usual.
Don't get stabbed. Tell me to get stabbed.
Yeah, you stay out of Ybor City.
Instead of Ybor City.
Ybor City, yeah.
They'll get stabbed.
Bad news. All right.
We will not be going. Hey, what is WrestleMania?
April 4th, I believe.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah.
So earlier. I'll still be with child then,
yes,
I think.
Yes, you will be with child then.
Hopefully. Knock on wood.
37 weeks pregnant, though, is not...
traveling.
It's not traveling to WrestleMania for a tailgate.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, not this year.
Maybe next year.
With a 1-year-old?
Yeah.
And a 3-year-old?
Of course.
3.5-year-old?
Yeah, he's ready.
That actually... Well, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
No, he's not ready.
He's not ready for WrestleMania.
No, I wouldn't. Oh my god, I don't know. I think he's
never ready for
at
WrestleMania.
Least like 14 or 15, because it's six. Like it's 7 hours.
It's a long
hour
show. Well, we'll go to NXT shows.
I can barely stay awake during it myself.
Seriously, yeah. No, I think as we've discussed, I don't really have any desire to go to WrestleMania. But I would do the NXT shows and all the events around it.
Right.
But some other year.
Yeah.
This is not the year.
Yes. For now, though, we'll. Will you continue to take this